This is Studio B Live, and I'm your host, David Burns. You're listening to Studio B Live, a broadcast of Long Lane Honeybee Farms, the operation of my wife and I, Sherry Burns, from Central Illinois, Long Lane Honeybee Farms. We want to welcome you to our program today, and as always, we're glad to have you along with us to learn more about beekeeping. And whether you're a first-time beekeeper, or maybe you're just interested in it, so you're kind of listening and getting some information, or maybe you're a long-time beekeeper, we want to welcome you today for a fun-filled hour on beekeeping. And I'm joined by my wife, Sherry. And Sherry, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
Well, good. And busy as a bee here, aren't we? Trying to get everything done and taking orders and getting spring all fired up for a great beekeeping year. Looks to be a good year. I think we're seeing a lot of new people joining in the beekeeping hobby, and we're excited about that. We're taking a lot of orders for hives and packaged bees and having fun with it.
Yeah, we sure are. I think most of our customers seem to be brand new beekeepers.
Yeah, a large percentage, isn't it? And that's always good. Not that we don't have repeat customers, but it's good to see email after email of people. It's almost an identical email. I told you one day that I thought somebody was playing a joke on me because, you know, one guy says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. I saw your website. I'm thinking about starting bees. I've always wanted to do it." I got like four of those, almost identical, and just one morning, and I thought, wow, somebody playing a joke. But more people are becoming interested in beekeeping. And since my appearance on Fox News, I've since been on the TV three more times, finished up another interview today. And so it's been fun promoting beekeeping on local television stations, and they've been gracious to help us promote our beekeeping courses and our operation.
I have a funny story to tell about this last time that you were on the TV.
Oh, I don't know this one, do I?
Yeah, you know what it is. But okay, I'll tell all the audience that's listening right now. But these times that David has been going to these TV stations to do these different broadcasts, he always takes equipment with him. You know, and he always takes a hat and a veil and a smoker, and he'll take a little mini beehive, you know, just a box with a bottom board and a lid, and he kind of talks about it. Well, this last time, he took one, and then when he came back home, it was in the truck, and my daughter and I were shipping all the boxes and putting everything together and taping and labeling, and we were going really fast, and we had a ton to get out, and I needed that box that David had put in the back of his car. So I ran out and I got it, and I ran inside, and I threw it in a box. And the next thing I know, my daughter says, "You're going to laugh at this." She says, "Mom, look what's in this box." And so I went and looked in it, and what David had done and had not told me was that he had taken a full frame of honey that was left over from last fall that we save, you know, usually to put in the beehives for the bees in the springtime. And he had taken a whole frame of that, and he had put that in that deep. And I tried to mail it to somebody. Wouldn't it be hilarious if they had gotten that when they unpacked that and thought, "Oh, wow, look, it already comes full of honey."
Yeah, you know, well, I'm not used to you being so efficient that I would drive home from one of these things and you would clean my truck out. I was just going to, you know, when I brought it inside, it was a brand new deep hive body, you know, and you always want to take the best equipment for TV. But I also wanted to show what a frame full of honey looks like. So that's why I just put one in the middle of that. So that customer still may get a few drops of honey.
Well, then it's all primed and ready to go, isn't it, if they do. So some of you have got hives that have been on TV, either national TV or local TV, but they are celebrity beehives.
Wow, I should have sold the one on Fox News for more money.
Right. You could have sold it for more, but somebody got it for the same price.
Somebody did get that one, didn't they? I didn't think about that. And the smokers, too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll be. we enjoy doing these broadcasts, and we'd like to do more. And we had one listener wrote in and said, I'm starving for another episode.
Aww.
I know you're busy, but hey, I'm waiting. And it's not so much that we're busy, that too busy to do it. But
yes, it is.
Let's put it this way. We're not bored.
No.
You know, we're
not
saying, well, what can we do today? I don't know. Let's do a Studio B Live. That's not that point, but we always can make time to do these broadcasts. But we have had a lot go on, and we just finished up last weekend our beekeeping course, and that was a lot of fun. We had students from all over. I think the farthest came from Virginia, and that was fun.
Yeah, that was Don and Michael. They came from Virginia, and then they came over and spent a little while with us afterwards, and it was fun getting to know them. They were all a really nice group of people. And you know what? UPS is here, so we need to stop and come back in a couple of minutes.
Well, what if I talk to the UPS driver about beekeeping?
Oh, well, he may not know anything about beekeeping, but shipping these boxes.
He does know about boxes, doesn't he? And he's good. One day, well, we shipped out, I don't know how many. Let's see, it was well over 20 or 30 hives. And these are like 68-pound boxes in 1 week, but he was off that week. But then we kind of loaded him up the week after that. So as soon as he gets in here, we'll see if he can, maybe he can make a comment about what it's like to come to Long Lane Honeybee Farms and load up. I think there was one day they sent two trucks out. We had so many going out that he actually sent another truck out, so.
Yeah, we just it's been hard to get on and do a show with this season it is.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Hey, Dwayne.
Good afternoon.
How you doing? Hey, we have a broadcast that we put on the internet.
Oh,
so
yeah?
Say hello to our audience.
Hello from the bee farm.
So we thought, hey, here comes the UPS guy, and tell him what you think about picking up all these heavy hives every day you're here.
Business is good.
Business is good. Well, there's our UPS guy for our listeners. That's great. Well, we were talking about our bee class before UPS came to pick up the hives today. Yeah, it was a great class. I always enjoy presenting. It really wears me out to stand up for 6 hours and lecture, but it was a lot of fun. We had a pretty good balance between new beekeepers and some that had done it for a year, and then a great age balance. You know, we have very young children and more chronologically advanced people. We even had some that looked to be older teenagers, weren't they? And so it was great to just have a good balance of people at the beekeeping meeting. And it was really good at the class because we actually had it at the Anita Purvis Nature Center, and they had an observation hive there that we could look at and I could use in the teaching. And they also had a microscope set up there that we could look at bee legs and I think bee antennas. It was a nice place to have our beekeeping meeting. I keep calling it a beekeeping meeting, but it's actually a beekeeping class. And I'll probably offer another one in April. April is just a horrendous month for us, and I'm not sure exactly if I can pull that off. But, you know, we're having the pickup, the package bee pickup from our facilities here, and that looks to be maybe April the 11th. Is that a Saturday? April the 11th. See, is that 2009 or 8? Oh, yeah, that's Saturday, April the 11th. So if that works out, we might have a class, but, boy, I don't know how we can have a class during that Saturday because it's just really busy, you know, getting everybody's packages ready. And I've got a real good supply of packages. If those of you that are listening do want to drive up and pick up packages, woo, I've got some connections. I can get you some packages. You can drive over and pick them up. We're selling them for $75 a package with an Italian queen. If you're interested, give us a call, get your name on the list, and we'll get some packages of bees for you. That's coming right up. Of course, we can always drop ship your packages too. So keep that in mind. Get those ordered early. Things will dry up when it comes to package bees, so make sure you get that taken care of. And it was fun today, Sherry. I took Seth with me to town when we did the television interview, and then we had a beekeeping meeting with our local beekeeping club, which I'm president of, is actually having a class starting this Thursday. And so I took Seth to that meeting, and so Seth is trying to sneak away now. So what was it like hanging out with me and doing all that bee stuff today, Seth?
Oh, it was fun, I guess.
Seth is usually out there building hives and stuff, and today we kind of got caught up enough to slip away and do some other things, and I was showing him what it's like to go through the motions of all the little other stuff about beekeeping, so it was fun taking Seth along. Seth is my 15-year-old son, and he's a busy worker out in the beehive all the time, out in the bee production area. Well, here at Studio B Live, we have always been inundated with beekeeping questions. And even though I can answer those questions time and time again, new listeners and people that are new to beekeeping continue to ask those questions, sometimes the same questions. And I do encourage you to go to our basic beekeeping lessons. And you can see the answers to the questions that you might have, but if you don't see the answers there, by all means, then you can certainly email us or call in and ask your questions. You can call us at 217-427-2430 to ask your question. That's 217-427-2430. And you'll receive a answering machine message that will tell you how to ask your questions, and then we'll tape that and play your question and give our answer to it on our next upcoming Studio B Live broadcast. So if you want to give us a call, again, 217-427-2430. Now, I want to look at some of the emails questions that we have received lately, and maybe we can answer some of these today, Sherry. And as we answer the questions, I'm sure that our answers will go out not just to the one asking the question, but certainly to many more people who are listening today. Okay, here's an email from Matt, and he says, David, have you ever heard of slatted rack? It goes between the bottom board and the bottom brood chamber. In the winter, it keeps the brood chamber warmer so the queen can lay right to the bottom of the frame and late. And then spring and summer when the hive is populous, it provides a cluster space so the hive which can reduce swarming. And he talks about this slatted rack. I have heard of that, and I have used those. We have made those and experimented with them, and we're not really too impressed with it, although I do know Gene Killian over in Paris, Illinois, he did use these when he was making comb honey. I know some people do use them in making comb honey. And it does provide a little bit of a fake space at the bottom of the hive, and some people do claim there is an advantage to that. But I have never seen any. Maybe I need to experiment a little bit more. So, Matt, I would say if you wanted, you know, get one, try it, follow the instructions on it. Maybe you can find some success in using it. And Matt also asked, is swarming inevitable at some time, and what do I do? Is it possible to retrieve the swarm and put them back in the hive and look to see if they still have a queen or start all over? Matt says it makes him a tad nervous about swarming. Yeah, you know, here's my thoughts about that, Matt. A strong, healthy hive will swarm. And it's just like a strong husband and wife, when they're married, they're going to have children. That's the way that the human race populates and reproduces. And a colony swarms, and that's their way of producing another colony. So you want and expect a hive to produce a swarm, which means that they're a healthy colony, wanting to swarm and produce another colony. Now, to break up their desire to do this, we do think that we can do it. You know, we can do some things that will stop swarming. But in the end, sometimes a colony just gets set to swarm. There's very little we can do to stop it. So you can always keep them from being congested. You can remove the swarm cells. You can continue to split the colony so they are, you know, not as large of a colony. By splitting it, you might make them think they have swarmed. And so this is another way you can control it, by taking 4 or 5 frames out in the spring when it warms up, and see if that doesn't keep the swarm under control, keep that colony from swarming again. So that's some good questions. And let me see, I'm going to find, I got a whole bunch of these piled up here, so let me go ahead and get these going here. Sherry, you want to answer any of these questions?
Sure I can.
Maybe I'll let you answer one and see how you do, and then I could give you my thoughts on it too. I got to put all these in the right order here. There we go. All right, we're supposed to answer all the green ones here. All right, just hang with me here a moment. I'll get those for you. Oh my. Okay, here we go. All right. Do you have the Vietnamese pith helmets for sale? If not, can you suggest a source? We have carried those at times, but it is difficult to find a source, and it's one that we're not able to keep in stock. So right now, no, we don't. We don't have the Vietnamese pith helmet for sale, and we don't really have a good source either, or we would have them for sale. It is what I use, and I think I mentioned that once in one of my bee blogs, how much I like it, and so people want one because they like that I have one.
You must have really talked it up, because a lot of people would like that hat, and you know, and I just sent off the last one, not more than a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, but we just can't find who has those. I guess we'll have to go to Vietnam and see if we can find some.
Well, you know, I had the lady's name that was providing it for me, but then I had to delete a whole bunch of things off my computer to make room for other things. And so I think I deleted her address, and I can't find her, but I'll try to dig her up again, and we'll try to get some more of those Vietnamese pith helmets. That's where they are authentically made, and so some beekeepers like those. Here's someone else that says, I've been browsing through your site trying to take in all the information. I was wondering if you might have a minute to try and answer a question I've been pondering. We started out 2 hives last year, each received 3-pound package of bees with a queen. We had a pretty good year. As far as I know, we were able to get 20 pounds of honey, which I understand is quite decent for a first-year hive. They seem to be overwintering well. They are all out on their cleansing flights on warm days. I quickly opened them one of the last warm days and put a tray of hard candy in each of the hives to ensure adequate food if they are in need. One hive was clustered in the top body, and the other hive still seemed to be in the bottom. And he says he attended a local beekeeping association in Missouri, and where people were giving talks, and he says he was confused about expanding or making splits. And let's see, I'm going to skip through some of this and get to his question. Okay, my question is, can we effectively stay at just 2 hives without having to make splits and our nooks and avoid having to purchase more equipment? We obviously do not want them to swarm. I couldn't really get any info about what to do to stay at this point. All of the talk revolved around expanding. Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Because, you know, we always do want to expand. So what about it, Sherry? He has 2 hives. He thinks they're doing great. He really just doesn't want to try to change anything. Can he just hold his course?
Yes.
Of course he can. Why couldn't he? Well, what about swarm? He's afraid if he doesn't do something, they might swarm.
Well, typically, though, if you have a swarm, you usually have a queen and some bees left in the original hive. So even if they swarm, you're still going to have, you know, a nucleus left. So isn't that okay?
Yeah, you know, I did respond to his email. I told him the same thing, you know, that, you know, it's not a bad thing if they swarm, and if they swarm early enough, you know, 50% of the hive may go one direction and half of them stay. So he might even catch it. Now he just might have another hive. He could try to put it back in the same hive, but, you know, once they get an idea that they want to swarm, they're probably going to want to swarm. You know, we laugh about, you know, that one particular hive that we have in the pumpkin patch. We just think that we don't do much with that. We just leave it alone, and I'm sure it swarms every year, but every time I go check on it in the late fall, they're doing great. They're overflowing and having a good time, so I don't do much with it, so I just leave it alone, and I think you could too. Here's one from Saul. He says, I live in Brooklyn, New York, and have a private access to the silver-painted top roof of my two-story building. And he says, I've thought about beekeeping and wondered if maintaining a hive on a building in a relatively urban environment could be possible. The area of Brooklyn I live in has lots of trees and small private gardens, but nothing like suburban rural environment. What do you think, Sherry? Rooftop?
Yes.
Well, you're full of yes. You're a yes ma'am today, aren't you? Yes for everything. Yes. It's a good idea to check with your local ordinances to make sure beekeeping is allowed in your city, but if it is, then they're probably not going to bother anybody on the rooftop there. No one's up there. You know, very few people go on rooftops, and they'll just fly, and they'll fly down and enjoy all the nectar there in Brooklyn, and you'll have a good time. What do you think? Could it get too hot for them on the roof? Roofs are hot.
This is in New York. You can get hot in the summer in New York. But no hotter than anywhere else.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I really doubt that's going to be an issue, the heat of the roof, but he might want to put something, you know, like how the black tar paper on a roof, if it's a flat roof, it might get hot. He might want to put something white or something down just to keep it off the black, something that's doesn't absorb as much heat. Maybe I doubt if that's going to be an issue.
That could be nice in the wintertime.
Yeah, it could be. Sure could. Okie doke, here's another person who lives pretty close to my sister in Tennessee, Robbie. Hey, I just reviewed your site. I was impressed with the information and guidance. We have been thinking about getting into beekeeping for the last couple of years, but we didn't feel like we could because we didn't have enough information. But that is not the case now with your site. We do have a couple of questions. Number one, get ready, Sherry, practice saying yes.
Yes.
We've heard that we need to buy our bees as local as possible. Is that true?
No.
All right. We got a no out of Sherry. There's some people say you should buy your honey locally, and I agree with that because you get more of the pollen that's in your area, so that helps you with allergies. But buying the bees locally, I think the premise behind that is that a bee bought from your area is going to be used to the climate, the weather conditions of your area. But remember, honeybees are Apis mellifera. They are able to go through winters. And genetically speaking, whether you take a bee and put it in Arkansas or Alaska, is no different than us overwintering, you know, our families in Alabama or Alaska. We'll make do. We'll get by somehow, and the bees will probably be the same way. So I wouldn't worry about that. Second question, we have heard that you need to start two hives at once. Is that true?
No, but I think you recommend it.
Yeah, it is better to start with two hives because you have more resources. In case one hive gets weak, you can use some bees from the other strong hive to balance and equalize the hives out. If you lose a queen, you can take eggs from your queen-right hive and put that in the queenless hive, and they'll raise their own queen from one of those fertilized eggs from the other hive. So let's see if he has another question. Okay, yeah, that's all the questions he has. And, oh, yeah, let's see. Okay. Oh, here's one that I referred to. This is from Jeff. He says, I know you guys are in your busy season, but I sure am missing your podcast. So here we are, Jeff. Good to be with you, buddy.
Hi, Jeff.
Well, at least we're doing this for Jeff, aren't we? You know what I mean? We don't know who else is listening, but Jeff is out there.
This is dedicated to Jeff.
We dedicate this song to Jeff. All right. All right, well, here's Michelle that says, my husband Tony and I want to start 2 top bar hives in the spring. We feel this could be the best design to suit our beekeeping needs. We will be building them ourselves and ask some questions about that. Top bar hive, by the way, is a triangular-shaped hive, different than the typical Langstroth square boxes that you see, or almost square boxes. Top bar hives are practiced in third world countries, used heavily in third world countries. They're often hung from trees. There are a lot of people in the United States. Well, I wouldn't say a lot. I'll say many. There are some beekeepers in the United States who do use top bar hives. Basically, those of you that are familiar with beekeeping and know what a frame looks like, that's a little Christian. He's out here in the studio with us. 16-month-old Christian. Christian, we're on the air. You got to be quiet. Can you say hello? Every time you ask him to say hello, he just stares at the microphone.
He smiles.
Yeah, he smiles. Say hi. That was good. Say hi. Say bye-bye. 16 months old. He's got a few words he's proud of. But that top bar frame is like a header off of a frame with none of the other pieces. And the bees add their comb just to the header, the top bar of a frame. So there you know where we get the term top bar hive. And they're not allowed in my state of Illinois, and they're not allowed in many states because they do not allow the inspector to lift a frame out because often they get attached to the side of the top bar hive box, and the inspector cannot pull the frame out to inspect it. So, I don't know. We don't look at it too favorably. We want to stick with something more familiar with that Langstroth hive design. And, let's see, I want to share one more thing with you. We continue to get email from a good friend that we've met. He lives in, is it Switzerland, Sherry? Yeah, it's Switzerland, isn't it? Oh, is it Switzerland?
You don't know,
Christian. What, you don't know either, Sherry?
I don't know where he lives, honey.
Switzerland. I'm sure it's Switzerland.
I don't know.
Switzerland? Boy, it sure seems like it. He's told me, I've got pictures, but for some reason right now it's escaping my mind, the exact country, but I think it's Switzerland. He's great. He always emails us and sends us pictures of his beehives and what's going on in his country with beekeeping. And he sent me an email the other day that was great, and I wanted to read that to people. Let me see if I can find it here. His name is Steinar, and maybe it's Sweden. What did I say earlier he was from?
Switzerland.
Oh, I think it's Sweden. Now that I know, or I'm thinking of his name, I do know it's Sweden. He says, hi, hello David and Sherry, happy Valentine's Day. So I got this a while back. Hope you will have a nice time, and hope that you have a lot of orders this season. And then he says, I have been to the post office and sent you a parcel. The post takes 4 to 6 days, say 10, and I hope the parcel gets to you. There is no letter in the parcel, but I think it is easier to write by email. And he gives me the parcel ID. He says, the contents is, and he says, dot, 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 question mark, question mark, question mark. No, you can wonder. I think you will enjoy. Tell me when it arrives. And I'll write you another email. So we waited patiently, and sure enough, it arrived. And it is a couple of jars of honey from Sweden. And I thought, wow, that's really neat to get this. And we looked at it, and we were wondering what it was. And I call it cream honey or spreadable honey, and because it's more pasty than liquid honey. Well, he wrote me back, and he says, the honey is from one of the oldest members in our local bee association. He is 80 years old, and I have learned the beekeeping skills from his grandfather. This honey is early spring honey from wildflowers surrounding his house. All honey in Sweden is liquid when one... what's he trying to say there? He's good with his English.
Oh, when he extracts it. It's liquid when you extract it, but it crystallizes very
quickly. Oh, okay, yeah. All honey is in Sweden is liquid when you uncap it and sling it, but it crystallizes very quickly. So the secret is in the stirring of the honey. One must not stir it long. You can overstir. You can get overstirred honey, and not too little. If you stir it too little, it'd be a problem too. So he said it's an art like making good wine. Takes a long time to learn. If you look at the page 63 of a little catalog he sent us, you will see. And he's got some words in Sweden there that I cannot interpret. And he says, you'll use this to slowly rotate the honey to get the creamy consistency. The jars are the standard jars that you can sell at any supermarket. And so that's interesting that he says that all honey in Sweden is liquid when it's uncapped and slung, but it crystallizes very quickly. So they have to almost stir it instantly. Look at Christian. He's got a... he's wearing
he's
a...
He's got three bee hats on.
Yeah, he's got three bee hats on, so... he walked over to the shelves where the bee pith helmets are, and he's got three of them on now.
We might have to sell them used now.
Slightly worn. You look funny, Christian. So I tried this great... honey from Sweden, and I really like it, Sherry. It doesn't taste like the honey that we have here.
No, I like this stuff, and I assume it says some sort of creamed honey or something. It's H-O-N-U-N-G, I suppose that says honey, but it's good. It is really, 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 really good. And we've got sunflowers here that crystallize very quickly. Sunflowers, that honey crystallizes very quickly. Yeah. Wasn't there something else that crystallized really fast like
pumpkin
blossoms.
Right.
That crystallizes really fast. So they must have some kind of flowers like that that they have to take care of it like that.
Well, thank you, Steinar. I think he pronounced his name Steinar, S-T-E-I-N-A-R, Steinar, Steinar. So thank you for your gift. If you're listening, we got that and appreciate it. We should send him some liquid honey.
Mm-hmm.
From our, it wouldn't get hard, would it? And
no.
Do you have to go through a lot of customs to send something like that?
I don't know. I don't know how to send international.
Yeah, I remember that one broadcast you were talking about that. Somebody wrote back and said it's not that hard to send things international.
Yeah, they did send me instructions. I have to go back and dig those up.
Yeah. Okay. That's probably about all the email that I want to answer today, and maybe some of those answers have helped some of you that are wondering about beekeeping. And let me remind you, because I get this question so often, and that is, you can paint your hive any color that you want, and it doesn't matter if you want to paint it white, yellow, green, red, and don't worry about what color you paint it. That question gets asked so much, and you do not paint the inside, you only paint the outside, but we sell all of our hives already painted unless you request that they are unpainted. We sell them painted with latex paint. And another common question is, how many packages do you need for one hive? Now, there are several different pounds of packages, like a 2-pound, a 3-pound. I think there's even a 4-pound. I do not recommend a 2-pound package. It just seems like a little bit too small. I'm sure it might work fine. I recommend a 3-pound package of bees with a queen. And a lot of people ask, what kind of queens do you need to start with? It's a safe and reliable queen to start with is the Italian queen. You can depend on her to get you going. And if some of you want to exchange your queen later on, I don't mean exchange it. I'm not going to take your old one back and give you a new one. But if you want to swap one out by just killing your queen and buying one of our queens that we raise here at our yard, you can do that because we have more of a carniolan, a darker bee that we use in our queen operations here that we feel gets through the winter a little better and just a good queen. But the Italians will do fine. Italians get through the winters fine as well. Well, now Sherry's wearing a beekeeping hat, and then Christian has one on too. So now we got two used hats. Oh boy! Well, this is—I got to remind you, Sherry. This is radio, not television. No one can see you. Speaking of Sherry and her pith hats, your sweetheart of a deal has been a whopper. I mean, we have sent so many of those out. It's everything you need to get going and starting beekeeping. But Sherry's sweetheart of a deal is coming to an end. And I think I said the end of this month. Is that right?
Yeah, that's Friday. This is Tuesday, so it's got three more days.
Yeah, as of Friday, we're cutting the cords on that baby. Sherry Keith asked me, why did we do that? But we are going to end that special as of this Friday. So call between now and Friday to get a hold of that sweetheart of a deal. It's a complete beehive, a smoker, a hat and a veil and a hive tool and a package of bees to get you going. And you can see it on our website at honeybeesonline.com, honeybeesonline.com, if you want to take advantage of that. But it's going to be gone after midnight on Friday. Or maybe you can sneak in there early on Saturday if you beat me to the computer before I take it off. And you can order it on Saturday, maybe. So just give you a heads up on that. We want to thank you for those of you that enjoyed that special. Well, let's talk about equipment. I've mentioned this before in the broadcast about equipment, but now that we're coming into spring, it's probably one of those things I need to talk about again, and I'm sure I have listeners that did not hear me answer this question before. But as we enter into spring, we want to talk about what do we do about feeding our bees. Sherry mentioned earlier in the broadcast that we save some of our honey and give it back to the bees. And some people don't think that's a good practice because of the possibility of there could be some types of different disease or something that the bees may have tracked on the honey that could be go from one hive to the other hive. But, boy, I don't worry about that at all. I feel very comfortable feeding honey back to bees, and so I do save some of my honey that I harvest each year for that purpose. Here's the thing. I'm in Illinois, and those of you that are not in the deep south, you're probably going to be in the same boat I am in, and that is once the bees start flying with warmer weather, they're looking for food. They're looking for pollen. They're looking for nectar, and there's that time of year between when the flowers start blossoming and producing those things and when the weather first warms up and you're waiting for those flowers, there's that gap. And during that gap, the bees are just kind of, you know, flying and they don't find much. They will find some, but certainly not in a heavy volume. And so during that time, I do usually like to feed my bees. And I'm waiting on my maple trees to produce that first punch of nectar. They do a great job unless it's frozen out by a hard freeze that comes late in the spring. But so that's what I'm talking about today, is that there are different ways that you can feed your bees. I really think everyone should be feeding your bees something right now. You should have something in the hive for them to eat, unless they have enough stored honey around the cluster right now. If they have the stored honey, if you can take the top off on a nice day when it's, you know, not too windy and it's at least 45 or 50 degrees, if you can pop that top off just for a minute and look in there and see if the cluster has honey around them, then if they do, you don't need to do anything. They've taken care of it and they're doing fine. I would not interfere with that. But if you see just empty comb after empty comb around the cluster, I seriously think you need to feed them. Now, let me give you some ideas, because we're in that time of the year when you need to make this decision. This is for emergency feeding only. This is when you look in your hive and you realize they're starving. They're not going to make it until dandelions pop up. That's too far away, and so now you've got an emergency. So in this emergency feeding situation, there are some things you can do. Dumping a 5-pound bag of sugar, I don't think is the right thing to do. It's crystal. They need water. The way they digest it, and it's more difficult. It can put a little bit too much stress on the bees that way, unless you have an ample supply of water for them to deal with that. I would not recommend dumping table sugar in a hive. I do recommend that you would feed them pollen patties, either pollen patties that you can make or pollen patties that you could purchase. You could call us. We could help you either make those or get those purchased. That is a good help on how to get pollen and protein in the hive. And then you need to also get carbohydrates in the hive, and that is sugar. I recommend that you put some type of candy in the hive, and what we use is a fondant. It's like cake icing. It has cake icing, a little harder cake icing than what maybe you use on most cakes, but expensive bakeries will use fondant. You can find these recipes online, or we can give you a recipe if you give us a holler, but you can put fondant in a hive, and it's soft enough. It's not a hard candy. It's soft enough the bees can eat and consume this fondant as a emergency feed method. Hey, another way is really easy, and it's good, effective, is to take a Ziploc sandwich bag, mix sugar water 1-to-1, put it in your sandwich bag, and then lay it on top of the cluster, like on the top of the hive, on the top of the frames, top bar of the frames, and poke little holes, you know, 2 or 3 or 5 little bitty pinholes in the top of that bag on the top side. And so when the bees start smelling that honey or the sugar water up there, they'll go up there and they'll keep sucking those little holes, sucking the sugar out of those little holes in the sandwich bag. That's an effective way. And if it turns cold, usually that bag stays above freezing, being right there by the cluster warmth. Let's see. Another way. Oh, and by the way, when you put these sandwich bags in there full of sugar water, you may have to add a spacer. So you don't want to just smush the sandwich bag and all the forces all the sugar water to drip and freeze the bees. So you may want to get you a spacer that a lot of times people will take an old box and just cut it on a table saw and make a 2-inch spacer of it. It looks just like if I can describe it effectively, it looks like it's the same size as the hive box, but it just goes on the hive box, you know, between the upper hive box body and the top, so that you now have a 2-inch space to lay these bags in there, and it keeps the top up off of that bag and allows the bees to gain access to it. So you will need a spacer. It doesn't have to be 2 inches, any size you want it to be, but I like 1.5 inches, 2 inches, gives enough room. So another effective method would be to take your top cover off, and you'll see that your inner cover is there with the oval-shaped hole on it. You can take a quart mason jar with the lid that has the little tiny holes in it, and then you can put your sugar water in the mason jar, put the mason jar upside down where the holes are facing down over the oval-shaped hole on the inner cover. Now you're going to have to put something around the hive, though, to you know, seal off that area where the bottle is, and I would recommend an empty, deep hive body. And then put your, you know, top cover on top of that and put a rock on it, keep it from blowing away, and you can feed them that way right above the cluster. These are some ways that I'm suggesting that you can feed your bees until we get into the nectar season. Now, regardless of whether you're doing emergency feeding or not, you would probably be doing your hives a favor if you went ahead and fed them between this when it starts warming up and when you first have a nectar flow. Now, I don't mean necessarily inside the hive like we've talked about. I've been telling you about emergency feeding that's effective for feeding hives during the last few days of cold weather, last few weeks of cold weather during the winter. But as we get into the spring and it warms up, hey, and the bees are flying, feed your bees one-to-one sugar water until you get good nectar flow. And this can be done through the entrance feeder. It's the Boardman entrance feeder that goes on the front of the hive in the opening, and you put your mason jar on this feeder, and the bees go and consume the sugar water out of the mason jar in the front of the hive. Again, mix it one-to-one sugar water, which is about 4 pounds of sugar per 1 gallon of water. Now, this same mixture can be used in the top feeder. This goes on top of your hive, and then your top cover goes on top of it. But it holds a reservoir, holds maybe 1 to 2 gallons of sugar water, and the bees can go up and eat out of that. And these are some effective ways that you can feed your hive and kind of strengthen them until that you get that strong nectar flow. Now, my opinion is that once nature provides nectar, either from maple trees or dandelions, I don't feed my bees any more than I have to. I just want to give them enough to kind of come out of winter and get the queen stimulated to lay, let her know that there's nectar and pollen, and she can start laying good, build the hive up early. But then once nature starts producing nectar, I cut off all of the, I don't want to call it artificial feed, but all of the synthetic, you know, sugar. I call it synthetic powdered, granulated melted sugar down. You know, nothing like nature and that natural nectar. So once that's available, my bees have to learn to go out and get their own food. But I'll help them for a little bit. And I think you should too. Should be very happy, those of you that your bees made it through the winter. Should clap, tip your hat to your hives that made it through the winter. You might even want to give them a high five or something. Your bees that did not make it through the winter, don't feel discouraged or don't despair. They probably just didn't store enough food for themselves. They probably just got too cold, the cluster got smaller, and finally, on a cold night, they all just died. Shake out the dead bees as much as you can. Take the hive apart so that you can shake out all the dead bees, and especially turn the bottom board upside down. Get all the dead bees out of the hive. And they do smell. Don't panic and think you have American foul brood because you smell decaying bees. There's a big difference. And here's a rule of thumb for you. If you do not have any brood in your hive and all you have is dead bees and you smell this terrible smell, well, it's not American foul brood. American foul brood is a bad smell that comes from large quantities of brood, which you don't have in the winter. It's just the smell of decaying bees, a smell that most beekeepers are very familiar with. So don't be alarmed if you smell that and you don't have any brood. It's just your bees dying. So throw them overboard and let them be fertilizer to your grass or a nice treat to a bird or a mouse, and move on down the road and get you another package and keep going. You've learned a lot. You've got some drawn comb ready. You can reuse that comb. Unless you suspect there's some disease in that comb, go ahead and reuse it. It'd be fine. And if you're suspicious you may have a disease, you can have your comb inspected and looked at by your state and bee inspector. They can give you the all clear on the health of that comb. But we go ahead and just reuse our comb and trust that all is well. And the next package that's put on that comb is going to take right off. They won't have to draw that comb out. And there you go. There's some tips on what you should do now that it's spring and you need to get those bees all ready with some feeders. And whether you use a top feeder or entrance feeder, I get asked that so many times, which one is better? You know what? They're both good. The bees like them both. Some people have a preference because the different ways that they like to work their hive. Some like to see the liquid going into the hive in the front. They like to monitor it. Other people just like to use the top feeder because it's less work. Sometimes it holds more liquid than the front feeder does. It's totally up to you. They're both very effective. I'll let you decide. Well, that's all the time we have for this edition of Studio B Live, and we are thankful you joined us today. This is the broadcast from Long Lane Honeybee Farms, located in Central Illinois, the honeybee farm of Sherry and David Burns, and we're so glad that you've tuned in today. Thanks for stopping by our website. We welcome your emails and calls, and if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can call us. Our order line, if you want to place an order, is 217-427-2678. That's 217-427-2678. We'd love to help you become a beekeeper. And you can call us and we'll tell you what to do to get things going. It's not too late. You're just in time for getting all things ready to be a beekeeper this spring. So do give us a call. 217-427-2678. And if you have a question about beekeeping and you can't find the answer on our website, then go ahead and just call us. You can call our question line at 217-427-2430. 217-427-2430. And you can ask your question and we'll answer it on our next Studio B Live broadcast. If you'd like to visit us online to place an order or learn information, go to honeybeesonline.com. Honeybeesonline.com. You can email me at david@honeybeesonline.com. That email address again is david@honeybeesonline.com. Well, I believe beekeeping is a great tool in the family. It's a great way to teach your children responsibility, science, entomology. It's a great way to pull your family together with a project of getting things ready for your hive and learning about bees. It's a great way to receive a gift back from being a beekeeper, and that's the wonderful gift of honey that the bees produce. It's also a great service that you're providing to your property and all your neighbors in pollinating the fruits and vegetables. Every one out of every third bite of food that we take is a result of honeybee pollination. We need our bees, and the more people that keep bees, the more bees are going to be doing their job, because our bees are on the decline, and we just need to curve and stop that decline and make it go the other way. And you can do your part. Go green. Keep a beehive. And we'll help you do it if you just give us a call. Well, thanks for joining us again. Until we talk again in the next broadcast, remember to behave yourself.